Welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, H.C. Felder, and today the topic is Spellbound, the paranormal seduction of today's kids, with my special guest, Marsha Montenegro. Let me tell you about Marsha. Marsha is president of Christian Answers for the New Age. She's the author of the book Spellbound, the paranormal seduction of today's kids, and she's also working on a Master's of Arts in Religion from Southern Evangelical Seminary. Marsha, is there anything else I left out?
No, I'm actually, the director and founder of Christian Answers to the New Age, because I don't have, it's not an independent ministry. It's actually, I'm a missionary, and that's just the name of my ministry.
Okay.
So I don't have a board or anything.
Okay, well, tell us about your ministry.
Okay, my ministry evolved from being asked to speak in various places about my background as an astrologer and as a New Ager. And that led to more and more events and led to some writing. And finally, the Lord just led me to go full-time through the advice of people at my church and just the conviction that there was a need for this ministry. So I am operating under a mission board, Fellowship International Mission, in Allentown, Pennsylvania, as a missionary on support, which means that my income comes from various churches and individuals who feel led to support me. And I speak around the country. I speak at churches, youth events, conferences, and I also have done a lot of writing and a lot of radio shows and a few television things, but more radio.
Okay. Well, the topic for today's show is basically your book, Spellbound, the Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids. So when we talk about the paranormal, what do we mean when we say paranormal?
Right. The word paranormal is a term that is basically referring to the occult, to events that seem supernatural or may be perhaps supernatural but are not coming from God. So these are deceptive practices and experiences, and actually these practices have been around a long time, and they're listed in Deuteronomy 18:10-12, where God actually denounces and forbids them. And these are practices such as divination, sorcery, witchcraft, contact with the dead, casting spells, reading omens, and other related activities. These activities vary from culture to culture, and they vary also in time. So the way that some of these things were done then may not be exactly the way they're done now, but they're still the same kind of thing. And my book sets out to explain that and also to show people how we see these kind of things being promoted in our culture today, especially things that are targeting youth, children, and teenagers.
Well, tell us about your background and how that helped you write this book.
Well, my background was a mixture of involvement in Eastern religions and in the paranormal and occult activities and what one would call the New Age. There's a lot of overlap in those three areas. Sometimes people are more in one area than the other. Someone could be in the occult and really not be interested in Eastern religions, but I had a very wide net of interest that I cast over a lot of things. And so I was involved with Eastern religions as well as learning things like tarot cards, numerology. I had a spirit guide, and eventually I studied astrology and became a professional astrologer in Atlanta, Georgia, and practiced astrology, and I also taught astrology and was president of the Astrological Society, as well as writing for New Age magazines on the topic of astrology. So I became extremely involved in that one area, but I never left the other things behind. I was still doing Eastern meditation. I still, was working on my psychic abilities. I also had taken psychic development classes. and was still having the occult or paranormal experiences I had had earlier.
Okay, that makes sense. But evidently you saw something that troubled you enough to the point where you decided to write this book, and what was that?
Oh, actually, I was asked to write this book.
Oh, okay.
The book didn't even, I wasn't even thinking about writing a book. I mean, people have told me for a long time I should write a book, but, I was busy, and I knew it was hard to get a publisher if you've never had a book published. And actually, the publisher contacted me, and someone from the publisher, an editor, an acquisitions editor, and asked me to consider writing the book because she felt there was a need for it.
Okay.
So that's why the book was written, as a guide, as a tool for parents and other adults to understand what the occult is from a biblical perspective, and how we see it marketed, or how we see the ideas of it marketed in our culture.
So what type of things do you talk about in this book?
Oh, I cover a lot of stuff. I have a whole chapter on astrology, a whole chapter on the Ouija board, two chapters on mediums and contact with the dead, two chapters on magic, real magic, not, kind of fairy tale magic stuff, but the real magic that is practiced today by some people. I cover the occult view of good and evil, and I also have my story in the preface. Dr. Norman Geisler wrote the foreword for the book. And I just cover the whole range of the occult as it's listed in Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. So there's also suggestions at the end of each chapter for people on how to talk to children or younger teens about the topics covered in each book. The suggestions can be adapted, to the age of the child. And I also have three chapters at the end on how to take a stand on this topic with your children, and how to respond to their objections. Because I think I've heard about every objection that there is in my ministry. So I'm very familiar with the objections that come up from having spoken to a lot of youth groups and gotten a lot of email from, older kids and teenagers. And so I address those. So that can be used, by a youth pastor or a Sunday school teacher as well.
Yeah. I guess a lot of people would think that, a lot of the stuff that's going on as far as the occult is pretty harmless. Should parents really be concerned?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a very good question, because there seems to be two very popular views in our culture and in the church as well. One is that there really is nothing to this. It's really just all fraudulent. It's people making things up or imagining things, and it's not dangerous. And then the other view takes a very fearful view of it, that, almost anything can be occultic, and, if you get near it, a demon will jump on you or something like that.
Yeah.
So you seem to find those two extremes. And unfortunately, I find the first view more popular, where there's sort of a dismissal of these things. And I think what people don't realize is that there is a spiritual element to these activities. They are not innocuous, and they are dangerous. And also, I think a lot of people don't realize that there's a very strong appeal in the occult to many people, not to everybody, but certainly to younger people who find it it's fascinating, or because it's forbidden, they may be interested, and also because they may not fit in with normal mainstream activities. This has an appeal for them because it's going into something that's different from everything else, and they feel, that that's maybe where they belong. And these kind of things can be very interesting, especially to, smarter kids. Some areas of the occult are very complicated and get very, very involved, and so some kids really like that. So there's an appeal that I think a lot of people don't understand or don't know that it's there. And then there's the spiritual danger, because once you get involved in these things, your worldview tends to change, and you really become, you know, captivated by it. You come into bondage to it. So it's extremely dangerous. And yeah. It's a very destructive thing, too.
Yeah, I've seen TV shows and stuff where, you know, people just... You're just sitting around just having fun at a party or something, and someone will say, well, you know, let's bring out a Ouija board. And it's all considered just fun, but you're saying that there's more to it than that. It's not just fun, that there's a spiritual aspect to it that people are just not aware of.
Exactly. And I think one reason people do tend to dismiss these things is because a lot of it is packaged as entertainment. For example, the Ouija board, you know, it's made by Parker Brothers. Parker Brothers, you know, makes toys and games. So in most people's minds, well, this is just a toy or a game. But actually, Parker Brothers bought the rights to the Ouija board in 1966. And the beginnings of the Ouija board was really in the mid-1800s in France, and was started by a spiritualist, someone who believed in contacting the dead. And he came up with a very early form of the Ouija board. It looked quite different, but it was the beginning of it. And he came up with that as a way to contact the dead. And that has always been the purpose of the Ouija board, even when it was incorporated as a Ouija board in the early 20th century by a man named William Fold and his partner. And if you look at a Ouija board, you will see William Fold's name on it, F-U-L-D. It's at the top of the Ouija board. And it was always a tool for contacting the dead. It was never meant as a game. And even in the occult, people will say, I have heard mediums and psychics say, don't ever use a Ouija board. And the reason they say that is because, of course, they believe you can contact the dead, or these different kind of characters from other dimensions. And they say, if you're using a Ouija board, you have no control over who you contact. And so it's very dangerous. So they're saying it's dangerous for a different reason, but even they recognize there's something to it. So sometimes people can use a Ouija board and nothing will happen, but sometimes something does. And if you think you're contacting a dead person or an angel or whatever you're trying to contact, all you're going to get is a fallen angel, otherwise known as an evil spirit or a demon. And that's the only response. If you do get one, that's the only kind you'll get.
Now, how do you respond to someone who will say that if you play with the Ouija board or any type of occult games, that you're actually opening yourself up for demonic possession?
Well, I don't believe that Christians can be possessed. I do think that Christians can be seduced by the occult, and I have known Christians who have been. And what happens for Christians is that it affects their walk with the Lord. Sometimes they get, you know, depressed. They start having trouble in their marriage. They lose interest in church or in reading the Bible. So it does affect them in many detrimental ways. I don't think they can be possessed or lose their salvation. Now, for non-Christians, they are just a total target. There's no protection there. And I think that they could possibly be possessed. I do, this is just my own opinion, but I think that possession is very rare in this culture anyway. I think it's very rare. And I don't think that our main fear should be the fear of possession. I think our main concern should be, as Christians, should be that God has forbidden these things.
Right.
And whatever the results might be, that shouldn't be the main thing that keeps us from doing them. We should just realize that we shouldn't do them because God's forbidden them, and we know that they're not from Him. And that's
right.
The main thing. You know, for non-Christians, it's hard to explain to them why this is wrong. You know, I take a completely different approach if I'm talking to a Christian or a non-Christian who's involved in any of these activities. My approach is very different.
Right. Could you give some examples of how children and teens are exposed to the paranormal?
Yeah, I think, of course, one of the big ways is, or two of the big ways would be video games, which in a lot of video games now, the characters cast spells or have some kind of supernatural power that's like sorcery. And so kids are getting desensitized to the idea that these things are bad. And the other way is a lot of TV shows. I notice more and more, of course, there's a lot of TV shows for, maybe not for children, but for young adults, and adults like Medium and Ghost Whisperer with Jennifer Love Hewitt, and she's a medium on that show who supposedly can contact the dead. There are those kind of programs on TV. And then for children, even young children, cartoons, and different shows like that have people with these supernatural powers, and a lot of times they're presented as spells or some kind of power over nature or over the elements that very much resembles some activities that you find in the occult. And I'm very concerned about this exposure, because it seems like this is giving the idea to children that in order to be heroic or to do something good, you have to gain some kind of supernatural power. And it also gives them the idea that these powers can be used for good, which is actually the idea of white magic,
right,
and white witchcraft. And, of course, it's a theme of Harry Potter, you know, one of the most popular, maybe the most popular children's book in history, possibly, I would think, based on sales. This book has a hero who is casting spells, and yet he's the hero, and he uses that to fight the bad guys. He has other elements of the occult in it, too. That's probably the most prominent. And I think that's just desensitized our society to the point now where people hardly react anymore if there's a book or a movie or a TV show with kids who are casting spells. It's not seen as scary or evil the way it was 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, 10 or 15, well, not so much 10 or 15 years ago, but there was a time in this country where you could actually be, like, arrested for doing occultic-type stuff. Isn't that true?
Well, I think it depends on where you live, yeah. I think, well, certainly if we go back 100 years or more so ago, things like fortune-telling and things like that were definitely against the law. And it still is in some cities. A lot of these kinds of activities are governed by local ordinances. So it's really going to vary. There are even some cities where doing astrology is illegal, but they're usually not enforced. But, yeah, I think these kind of things were seen as either wrong or as invalid or as evil just by the, you know, culture in general. And, I mean, I even think that when I was still, you know, in the New Age, I became a believer in December 1990, so it's not quite, 17 years. It's less than 17 years ago. And I can recall at that time that these things were still, in general, seen by the culture as wrong. They were not really accepted. It was not acceptable to have young kids casting spells as a good thing. Some people, you know, probably were okay with it, but in general, it was not seen as a good thing. And that has, you know, really started changing, I would say, you know, 10 years ago, and then with Harry Potter coming along, it has drastically changed. I mean, Disney has a series called Witch, W-I-T-C-H, which is the name of the show, and each initial is the first letter of the name of one of the five girls who are the heroines of the show, and each one of them has a supernatural power, and it spells witch.
Right.
And, I mean, they had no problem, I guess, you know, they didn't think that that would bother anybody, or they wouldn't have called their show Witch.
Right.
I think that just shows a level of acceptance in our culture to the idea of witchcraft and spells as it's changing from being something unacceptable to something being, even if it's not totally embraced, it's become more or less acceptable.
Yeah, I think my concern, one of my greatest concerns, is as among Christians, that there's just a lack of understanding or awareness. So what are some of the biblical reasons to be concerned about the paranormal?
Yes, I think, well, certainly Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12 is the passage that lists all the practices of the occult. And these practices are repeated elsewhere in the Bible, including the New Testament. For example, you have in Acts 16 where Paul encounters the woman with the spirit of divination, some translations may say the fortune teller, and he casts a demon out of her. And he totally rejects her. She's following them and saying, you know, this man's talking about the way to God. And he finally gets tired of her and casts the demon out because she's not from God. And the fact that she has a demon, I think that this does not necessarily mean everyone who does these kind of things is possessed. But I think what God is showing us there is that there is a demonic element to this stuff, that it's not, she wasn't just making things up, you know. There really was an evil root to what she was doing. There was a demonic root there. And we have in Revelation a couple of places where it says those outside the city of God, and mentions sexual immoral people and several other kinds of people, including those who practice the magic arts or sorcery. And you have the Pharaoh's magicians who were shown up by Moses and Aaron, and by the power of God, they tried to repeat what Moses and Aaron were doing, and they were able to repeat a couple of things, and then they couldn't on the third try. And I think that, you know, over and over again, we see that God very clearly denounces these things. 1 Chronicles 10:13 tells us that one reason Saul was allowed to die was because he consulted the medium at Endor. And so, you know, we've got over and over again, God just makes it crystal clear. There's no ambiguity about it at all.
Right.
There are some things you can take out of context, you know, and try to say, well, see, maybe it's okay. But when you look at the totality of God's word, it's very clear that it's denounced by the Lord.
Yeah, and this is something that Satan has been doing since the beginning, but it seems like lately he has really been ramping it up. I mean, when I look at the TV shows that are on TV now, such as like the Ghost Hunters, Haunting, or Psychic Detectives, I mean, that's I imagine that's pretty popular. And there are more shows slated for the future. I mean, it's clear that there is a plan that Satan is carrying out here, and he's executing it very well.
Yes, he is. I've noticed, too, just the season with TV that just started now, there's a new show called Moonlight on CBS, I think, that is about a vampire who, and the thing about being a vampire is that he has these psychic abilities. I watched it last week. I think it was the first or second show that came on, and he has these psychic abilities as well. Which help him, you know, in he's hunting down these people, and he's a good guy in the show. I mean, he's presented as
yeah.
a good guy.
Yeah.
So you've got what used to be, you know, you can remember, well, not that you can remember this personally, but a lot of us who know some of the old movies, you know, the old Lon Chaney horror films are Dracula, when vampire was presented, you know, as evil, and how that's gradually changed, for example, with Anne Rice's novels on vampires, where the vampire wasn't really all that evil. He was
right.
sort of caught up in something that he didn't have control over, you know. And now you have vampires who are the good guys on TV.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Moonlight comes on right after Ghost Whisperer, interestingly enough. Oh, and another point I want to make is the one of the co-producers for Ghost Whisperer is James Van Prague, who is actually one of the top mediums in this country.
Wow.
Yeah, and the show Medium, that I don't think the new season of it has started. I think it's going to be starting up again, though, on NBC, is based on a real-life medium named Alison Dubois, and the character on the TV show has her name, Alison Dubois.
Wow.
And so, you know, you have these real-life connections with these things. These aren't just like total fantasies that came from some writer's mind. They have some connection to people who are actually doing these kind of activities.
Right. Marcia, is this book just for parents, or who can other people benefit from reading it?
Oh, I think that any adult who, certainly any adult who deals with children or teenagers, you know, whether they're a teacher or a pastor, or a youth pastor, or a grandparent, you know, could benefit from it. Or even people who don't have children could learn more about the occult from a biblical viewpoint from this book.
Okay, so the book is called Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids. How can people get a copy of it?
they can go to any online bookstore. They can order it from the publisher, which is Cook, or they can go to Christian Book Distributors, Amazon, Lifeway. Several online bookstores have it, and several Christian bookstores carry it or can order it for you. And, you know, and secular bookstores will order it for you as well.
Now, how can people get in contact with you?
The best way would be to go to my website, www.ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. That's the name of my ministry. And you can email me from the website. That's a lot easier than trying to give my email because it's long.
Okay. Okay.
So if you can just go to my website. Plus, you might find what you're looking for on the website. But if you don't and you have a question, you can certainly email me.
Okay. I want to thank you for being on the show, Marcia Montenegro, talking about your new book, Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids. And that will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless. This is H.C. Felder again. For all of you who are interested in apologetics, I wanted to let you know that I will be teaching an Apologetics 101 class. It is free and open to the public. It will be on Sunday evenings for 6 weeks, starting the first Sunday in October at the Journey Church here in Charlotte. It is designed to take a person from complete skepticism to the realization that Christianity alone is true. So come out and invite your family, friends, believers and unbelievers, and take this opportunity to ask those questions that you've always wanted to ask. For more information, call 704-248-7840. That number again is 704-248-7840. The preceding show has been sponsored by Giving an Answer with your host, H.C. Felder. So you can hear this broadcast as well as other episodes by visiting us online at givinganswer.org. You can also order a CD or a DVD of the studio recording by calling me at 704-248-7840. And remember, this show will only stay on the air if people continue to help us buy airtime. So I encourage you to consider making a tax-deductible financial donation to this ministry. That phone number again is 704-248-7840. And be sure to join me again next time on Giving an Answer.